God damn it! My life has value!
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Sit up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of UF Trotomy Radio. This broadcast was originally aired about 2 weeks ago, but due to technical difficulties, we're having to redo the broadcast. And I'd like to open up by prefacing this broadcast with an explanation. I know that many of you listen to this broadcast because we don't engage in the petty online politics that go on in the Patriot community. We don't engage in the name-calling, we don't engage in the hype, the glamour, the sensationalism, or anything like that. We talk about solutions, we discuss facts. There is a reason I'm doing this broadcast, though, and you'll understand why here in a minute. You know, everybody out there talks about unity, unity, unity. And I'd like to speak on that for a moment. I was listening to a broadcast back in the late 90s, and a lady came on this talk show, first time calling in on a Patriot Radio talk show ever, and she came on, and she was an elderly lady. She said that she had been in the Patriot movement for over 60 years, since the 30s, and she was in her late 80s then. And she says she's seen it all. She said the one thing that she can attribute to us never regaining our country or our freedoms back was the fact that we could not ever get on the same page with one another. The fact that we were always engaging in infighting. The fact that we were divided on every front possible and never united on any of them. And she says she truly believes that is the only reason that we have kept falling into a further and further state of despotism in this country. Now, if we look at those around the world who are trying to initiate this global government system and trying to get rid of our country and make it a province of the United Nations or whatever that government's going to be. You know, the interesting thing is that they're all united. They all work towards a common goal. They all have a plan. They have an agenda. They have various organizations who have single-minded focus upon their aspect of the agenda. And they all work towards that common goal. They're all united under one banner. And I believe the saying goes, united we stand or divided we fall. We will surely stand together, or we'll either stand together or we'll surely hang together. Well, that's what this show's about. This show's about bringing to light, you know, the death of the Patriot Unity Coalition in its original form, its original version, the way it was meant to be. Now, the PUC was a way to get different organizations and website groups to get together to stop the bickering, the fighting, the name-calling, the slandering, the pettiness, the spitefulness with each other. That's what that was about, the Patriot Unity Coalition. Now, I was asked for a while to join, and I didn't. And then I kind of got off air for a while, and I had to take care of personal issues. When I came back, I was asked to join again. Gary Hunt asked me to join. I didn't want to join. I'll be honest with you. I did not want to join. I took a look at the name. I took a look at the people that were on there, and all I saw were people that engaged in infighting on a regular basis. That is all they do. But I joined anyways. I said, I will try it again for the sake of unity. I said, I will try to get along with everybody. And everybody out there that knows me knows that I try to get along with you. Everybody to begin with. I don't even have to like you to work with you. I just have to be able to work with you, which means we have to be on the same page. We have to be working for the same goal. So I joined. But I knew what was going to happen. The first time a problem arose, and I had told them, I had told Gary, and I had told Sleepy Salsa, the first time a problem arises, this thing will fall apart. Well, we're here to discuss that problem and why the Patriot Unity Coalition fell apart, died, its demise. Who caused it? What it was about and why? Here with me is Gary Hunt. And again, like I said, this is a rebroad. We're doing a retake of this one because the audio was so bad on the first take that we did on this. We just couldn't even finish it up. So with that being said, welcome to the broadcast, Gary. How are you doing?
Just fine, Randy. Thank you. And we are endeavoring to duplicate the original broadcast from the notes we had for that broadcast as closely as possible. So no new elements will be interjected into this program that weren't there on the first date that we did it. The Patriot Unity Coalition began back in November 2011. There was discussions on the RAM site, a well-regulated American militia site, about unity, and they were going to set up, they didn't have a name for it, but Patriot Unity on the RAM site. And I suggested that, you know, a neutral site would be better. And so the ideal place would be Committee of Safety, which is really a static site. It's there to provide certain information. There's no discussion. There's no name calling. And so it was an ideal place, and it was agreed by everybody participating that would be the ideal place to locate the site. So I volunteered to put my time in. I wrote some bylaws or guidelines for the PUC, the rules that we would abide by. I set up the website at committee.org/PUC. I established a place on the Liberty Tree Forum, which is part of the committee.org page, where discussions could be had to review the guidelines and eventually approve them, and set up a mail list so all the delegate members of the various organizations who were the voting members, so to speak, the delegates from each group would be able to discuss things and or receive information via the mail list. So we had the web page, the forum for discussions, and an email list for broadcast and discussion. And December 1st, we opened the doors, and a number of people signed up for that. I realized about that time that I couldn't join the PUC because it said organizations, and outpostoffreedom.com, my page, is not an organization. It's just articles I write, some occasionally articles by others, editorials, historical documentaries or articles. And so it's kind of a static site, too. It's not really a discussion site, and it's just to present information. So I realized at that point that I couldn't join the PUC, that I'd help get going. We did have a provision in the bylaws that after there were 30 members, the bylaws could be reviewed and revised as necessary. We figured that would be sufficient time to learn what the mistakes are and proceed from there. So I waited anxiously for the 30 people, and I think we were up to 27 members at the time that something occurred. Now, on March 29th, they put a mail out to the mail list, and it was a matter of concern, and it's pretty self-explanatory. Now, first I wrote an introduction, and then I attached a memo that I had written on the 28th dealing with the problem. The email began, I am requesting your response to the following. If you reply to this message, it will go to all of the delegate members of the Patriot Unity Coalition. This is the proper place to discuss what I am presenting to you, absent an alternative. Delegates to the Patriot Unity Coalition, the guidelines make you the settler of disputes within the coalition. As such, you have an obligation to hear matters that are in violation of the guidelines and the intent of the PUC. Consequently, I would recommend that you read the following in its entirety, since the future of PUC and its ability to achieve its intended purpose is in your hands. I bring this matter before you not because the accusations that were brought forward were made in public, as they were not. However, the accusations, before they were brought to my attention, were the excuse for an effort to gain control of the PUC and put it in the hands of one man and his designated assistant. He did not come to me before taking any action. It was only after that action was taken that he attempted to bring the accusations to my attention. The honorable thing would have been to bring the accusations to me, ask if there were any legitimacy to them. The dishonorable thing to do would be to exert the time, effort, etc., to usurp the PUC, then, just in case the accusations were false, be able to claim that the intentions were good, so, since the new page is up, well, let's just let it stay the way it is. Below, I present the facts as I see them. What you do with those facts is your responsibility as the delegates to the PUC. Remember, however, that if the PUC is to survive, as intended, you must review and act in whatever manner you choose. The decision is yours. However, to fail to act is to fail to support the PUC. That will make a mockery of all that has been done. Then begins the memo. Subject, recent occurrences that may be of consequence to the Patriot Unity Coalition. From Gary Hunt, March 28, 2012. On the afternoon of March 21st, I received a phone call from Rick Light. It was rather disconcerting in that he accused me of a number of things. He then explained that he had set up a new site for the Patriot Unity Coalition. The idea for the coalition has roots many years ago. However, last November, in a discussion on RAM, it was decided that we needed to move and bring the Patriot Unity Coalition into reality. It was decided to put the Patriot Unity Coalition website up at the committee.org page, as this was a site that was not embroiled in controversy. The guidelines were prepared by me and submitted to a number of the original participants for review. The only change was that instead of 10 members before changes could be made, that 30 members would be a broader base, and until such time as there were 30 members, the guidelines would remain unchanged. The page was set up and a lot of necessary paperwork completed. A mail list was established and would only include delegates of the member organizations, those who would be involved in changing guidelines or any disciplinary action. Applications were taken and members began to join. It was at this point that I realized that the Outpost of Freedom and the Committee of Safety, the same page that the website was located on, could not join as they were not organizations, rather information sites. So I have waited anxiously for the 30th member to join so that perhaps a revision of the guidelines would allow my pages to proudly display the PUC banner. I have since joined the PUC and am now a member. So back to the phone call. First, Rick accused me of intimidating Mike Freebird and refusing to allow Patriot Resistance Network to be a member of the PUC. Then he accused me of not processing an application for the American Guerrilla Network. Finally, and this was his greatest concern, he accused me of the deplorable act of encouraging patriots to shoot other patriots. He then explained that I was in violation of the PUC guidelines, even though I was not a member, and anything that I did was not a violation of the guidelines, and that he had already set up the Patriot Unity Coalition on its own domain, which he purchased and owned. He did explain that Peter Jeremich would be the webmaster to assure that the PUC was not controlled by Rick Light. I explained that he was misinformed on all three points and explained each of them to him. I had asked Mike to hold off with adding Patriot Resistance Network since he had already added Watchmen of America, and Jeff Tindall had added Watchmen of Florida. I suggested that if all of the members were from just a small circle, it would be more difficult to get more diverse patriot groups to join, that they would think that it was a self-serving group. He agreed to hold off the PRN application until there were more members. When we got to 20 members, I contacted Mike and asked him to send the application for PRN, and they were then added to the membership. Regarding the application that I was accused of not processing, while I was talking with Rick, I went through the email applications and could not find one for American Guerrilla Network. Beyond that, there was little that I could say. Rick said that he would check into it and get back with me, though he didn't. I put out some feelers and found that the contact person from that group had assumed that since he was in the early discussions, he would be included. He didn't realize that he had to fill in an application and did so once he was notified. Regarding the encouraging patriots to shoot patriots, Rick said that he heard the Infiltrators program on You Have Tread on Me radio and that I was in violation of the guidelines. That's what he said that I had said was his reason for taking it upon himself to set up the new page and take over the PUC. I reminded him that the rules require that the board, the delegate members, make changes in the PUC, and if he were to continue what he was doing, he would be doing to the PUC what we decided should not be done when it was put on committee.org. I also explained that I did not say what he accused me of saying, and I sent him a URL so that he could listen to the program again, and that he would find out that he was very wrong in what he claimed to have heard me say. By the end of the conversation, he had agreed to look into the accusations, since I told him that he was jumping to conclusions without anything to substantiate them. I agreed that if the new site would not be subject to his control, I would be relieved to have the responsibility and the time consumption in keeping the page up and replying to any correspondence regarding the PUC off of my shoulders. I also told them that I would put a redirect page on the page so that if anybody went to the committee.org/PUC page, they would be redirected to the new page. Next, I forwarded 130 emails regarding the PUC to Peter Jeremich, all of the emails regarding the PUC applications, etc. Then I made Peter a moderator on the mail list. I remained as administrator since I am responsible for the mail list, and no offer had come for someone else to host the list. Rick reviewed the radio program and realized that he was grossly in error and had not paid attention to what I had said on the program. He did understand that American Guerrilla Network had never submitted an application. He did find that Mike had agreed to hold off the application, though he insisted I should never have asked Mike to do so. I told him that Mike and I have covered each other for quite some time, beginning with Rifle Stock and Joe Racer, and that what Mike and I decide was none of his business. That's what friends do, is not subject to his approval. Though presumably everything was in order. Texas State Militia had submitted an application back in December. The contact person then contacted me and said that he did not have the authority to join without consent of their board. He and I, agreed that I would hold their position and date on the list and that the member list would show pending approval by board until such time as their board approved the joining of the PUC. Peter Jeremich had copied the information from the members list at the committee.org page. However, he changed the agreed-upon message, pending approval by board, to read, "Purpose, support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic," end quote. This was an arbitrary decision. I had been meticulous in ensuring that anything represented on the PUC page was done as it was supposed to be. When extremely lengthy purposes were sent in, I wrote back and asked them to shorten them to the purpose, not an advertisement for their organization. Subsequently, I told Rick Light and emailed Rick Light and Peter requesting that the correction be made to return to the agreed-upon wording. To date, that has not been done. As I have said, I added Peter as a moderator for the mail list. Rather than set up two passwords, one for administrator and one for moderator, I, in good faith, gave him the only password that had been set up. When I went to the list 3 nights ago, I saw that I was removed as owner, administrator, and moderator. Fortunately, he didn't have the foresight to change the password, which I have done, and have removed him from his assuming the authority to remove me, the owner, from the list. I've also, pending resolution of this matter by this board, removed the redirect to the new page and retained the old page open and up to date. I also found that though I had given Peter instructions on how he could add delegates to the mail list or send them to a page where they could join the list, but recommended that he add them since many people don't understand or want to join such a list. The American Guerrilla Network had not been added to the list 3 days after they had joined the PUC. I have added them as well as 2 new members since that procedure has been ignored. I have diligently done my work and everything was completed within a day of a completed application being submitted. I have come to the conclusion that as the administrator of the PUC mail list and of the web page, until I have assurance that it will be handled properly, I must ask the executive board to consider the above and determine if the actions of Rick Light and his designated webmaster arbitrarily making major changes to the PUC website, the failed acceptance of responsibility and diligence in the maintenance of the site, and the attempts and usurpation of the mail list are not an honorable acts in the best interest of the Patriot Unity Coalition. It does appear that Rick Light has acquired by these actions an undue influence over the PUC, and that if this continues, the PUC will fail to serve its intended purpose and result in more division and conflict in the Patriot community. The idea behind that PUC is that one person or even a small group could not make such arbitrary decisions, whether in the form of accusations or making changes to the PUC without the consent and concurrence of the administrative board. It is now up to that board to determine what is to be done to assure the continuation of the Patriot Unity Coalition. Take it for a minute, Randy.
I actually have a couple questions for you, Gary.
Okay.
Now, when Rick first contacted you by phone and he told you his concerns, now, had he actually, my understanding in that original email was that he was told this is what you had said in my on my broadcast, correct?
He said he was told that I had said Patriots should shoot Patriots, yes.
So he had not actually heard the broadcast.
Well, he kind of acted like he had, but he didn't seem to grasp what it was, so I have to assume that he didn't really hear it, and that it was told to him as he said.
Now, after you gave him the link to the broadcast, what were his comments when he came back to you about it?
When he got back with me, in that first conversation, he said that if he was wrong, he would apologize. And he called me back a couple days later, said he had listened. Now, this gets into hearsay because I'm just telling you what a private conversation was, but he told me, I apologize, Gary. I told you I would apologize if I was wrong, and I apologized. You did not say Patriots should shoot Patriots. And then he, at that time, confirmed also that he found out that McLaiden had not submitted an application. He was still kind of miffed that Mike Freebird and I had agreed that PRN would not go up for a while and said that I had no right to make that decision. And that was the end of that until I began finding out that he was arbitrarily making changes on the website and that Peter had kicked me off of my own mail list.
Okay, so then he actually came back and apologized to you then.
He came back and apologized. And that's the only time. Since then, as this thing heated up, which we're going to be getting into, he has never acknowledged that he apologized. So, like I say, that's hearsay. That's what I recall the conversation, and I heard it clearly, and he had kept his word to apologize. But at this point, there's no admission on his part that he ever apologized. So that, take it or throw it out. It's up to you. Now, as far as the new site, I had sent an email to Peter Jeremich, and the email read, Peter, let's see, that's not the right one. Oh, yes, here it is. This is on March 22nd. Regarding the mail list, I have been adding people as they join the coalition. They could sign themselves up by going to, and then the URL where they could sign themselves up. I have made you moderator. To access the list, go to, and I gave him a URL, and I said the password is United. That's where I told him he was a moderator, not the owner or the administrator, but the moderator of the list. We had not gone beyond that point in discussion, but he chose to remove me as owner, administrator, and moderator when he got access to it. The password then was United. I've, as I said, subsequently changed that. So, Peter, in the course of discussion over the next week or week and a half on the mail list, which was fast and furious, and I hate to use that phrase for other reasons, but it was fast and furious. Peter wrote, I was not going to respond to this until I learned more details as to what was going on with Gary and Rick. Hard to make sound decisions and suggestions without hearing the whole story and both sides of the story, as well as any backup supporting evidence. However, I will address a couple of the items pertaining directly to me. One, Texas State Militia. I asked Rick when I was building the new website why it still read pending approval by board. He told me they spoke to him recently and it was approved to list them as a member now, so I did. Now, that was Rick's word. So Rick had decided arbitrarily to make a change that was contrary to what had been agreed. Number two on the mail list, they both told me that Gary was glad to have it off of his shoulders as it was getting too much to handle. Gary even asked for the and installed the redirect page I sent him. So I proceeded to make some changes that would take the mail list off his shoulders as well once I got familiar with it. Password was perfectly left intact in case Gary needed Gary's help taking the list over, as I thought I was doing with both their support. Now, I didn't say it was too much to handle. I think I said that I would be glad to have it off my shoulders, and perhaps a matter of degree, but he was a moderator, and he admits that he took me off the list.
Okay.
Was that requested by me?
All right, now, I have another question for you.
Shoot.
The way the PUC was set up, my understanding of it when I joined, and this is the only reason I joined, is because everything that happened within the PUC, whether it was wording on a banner or a flyer that we did, or a bulletin board or whatever it was that we did, that would be decided upon by the delegates. Everything was to be decided upon by the delegates, correct?
That's correct, and that's why I couldn't even join until we got 30 members to change the bylaw or the guidelines.
So, now my understanding was, and I even read this in the email when I joined, is that by filling out this application and submitting it, I agree to abide by the guidelines as they were set forth. That's what I understood. It was in the email that I got with the application that was attached to it.
That's correct, and a little later we'll get into a little more detail in the structure of that email that you submitted.
And now, does any one person, now from my understanding, there was not a single person that had authority over anybody else. We were a Congress, if you will. We all had a say. We all had a vote.
That was the intention. That's what the guidelines explain, that everything be handled by the entire delegation.
And no one person could do anything without the board's approval, correct?
Right, and the extent of what I did was basically administrative things, like working out with Texas State Militia what the wording would be, since they could not provide a contact and a delegate, and without a contact and a delegate, are they really members? And he withdrew the application, but to hold his position, I made an administrative decision to say pending approval by board, in agreement with, I think his name was Terry Melton. In agreement with him, we came up with that wording. But that's administrative, and I didn't think it warranted wasting the time of the board.
Okay, now let me ask you a question then. So basically, when Rick took the site and he paid for... Now, he had already taken the site, from my understanding, he'd already taken the site, secured it, secured a domain for it that he owned, and was already had plans to move it when he had talked to you, correct?
Yes, he had moved. He had set up the site, and then, as Peter mentioned, he provided me a redirect back on the 21st or the 22nd of March, the redirect. So if you went to the committee.org PUC, it would automatically direct you to the domain that Rick bought and owned, he made clear, at patriotunitycoalition.org. So the redirect just really cut out the existing page, and people were redirected immediately over to the other site.
Now, when that email went out, I'm actually the one who responded to it. I think I was the first one to respond to it. I think I thought I was rather diplomatic. You know, I said I don't have any disparaging feelings towards Rick. I don't want to, you know, lay blame. But I asked for a meeting to be called. Correct?
Yes, you did.
But not only Rick's actions, but the accusations against you. Correct?
Right.
And that's kind of when everything started falling apart.
When I posted that email, Fast and Furious came into the mail list, yes. So, I might point out that my email went out on the 29th. He had set up the he bought the domain, I found out later, on the 19th. The web page was operational by the 21st when our first conversation occurred. And from the 21st of March to the 29th of March, in those 8 days, nobody was notified of the new site. Nothing had gone to the mail list. Nothing had been said anywhere that the PUC had been moved to the new site. Now, that was another thing that bothered me that I did not put in the memo that I sent to the administrative board. But, you know, the site's moved. We all joined the site here, and now it's moved over there. Is that right?
Now, I've got a question for you. You know, I was told that the site, you know, that the original agreement, I wasn't around during these original conversations, but the argument was is that everybody knew that the site was going to be moved anyways, correct? Is this correct, or was that false?
Well, I don't recall. Now, I'm an old man, and, you know, my memory's kind of poor sometimes, but I don't recall that we ever discussed an alternate site. I think in casual conversation, it was thought that maybe someday we would get our own domain, but there was never any discussion a lot of things are said. There was never a vote on a future domain. I don't know if Rick even brought it up or somebody else. Perhaps nobody did, but at best, it would have been a casual sentence thrown out there, you know, maybe someday we can have our own domain. But there was no talk about it, what it would be called, whether it would be a network or an org or a com or anything else. It was an arbitrary decision. Now, committee.org has been up since the 90s. And, you know, it's established, and it is not involved in the petty politics of the Patriot community. But I don't recall, but we will hear later on, that we were told that we had decided at the beginning that we were going to get our own domain, and he's just getting a jump on the gun, which still, without the approval of the board, is a violation of the guidelines.
So then let me get this straight then. I'm just trying to work the timeline here. So basically then, 8 or 9 days before Rick Light had ever talked to you, he was already behind the scenes securing a domain name, getting a website built for it, and waiting to talk to you with these accusations, which is actually before the show was ever done.
Before what show?
Before the show where he accused you of...
I don't recall the date of the Infiltrator show that was discussed on, but we'll get into premeditation later as we go through these emails.
Okay.
I can't say. I don't remember the date of the show, Randy, quite frankly, but it was about that time. And it probably was before the 19th when he secured the domain, unless you... Was that a Sunday show?
You know, I'm actually going into the directory to find out.
See, he secured the domain name on a Monday.
You know what? I don't have that Infiltrator show up here yet, it looks like. Well, that just reminded me I need to do something else. I'm slacking over here.
Well, let me see if the date is on the listing itself, or the link itself.
It'll be on there.
Oh, February 28th. Yeah, so it was the show was 3 weeks before then. It was the show, the Infiltrator show was done February 28th. Wait a minute, yeah. And we're talking March as far as the takeover, yeah. So it was 3 weeks later that he decided to react to a show that was 3 weeks before then. So it's not a direct cause, is it? Perhaps there's some other motivation behind it. Now, anyway, Peter Jeremich joined later on in the original membership. I don't recall the original date, but back to his email, he says, "We have, based on what I've said, we have your mission here that you were helping me with the transition, and I still have all your original emails that prove that you were glad to have this off your shoulders. And let's not forget that the site was eventually going to be moved to its own domain name. What prompted Rick to do it sooner, besides your holding off approving certain members, was a radical thing that you said on the radio show." Now, I was relieved to have it off my shoulders, but if I were still handling it, I never complained. And, you know, I courteously said no problem, because I thought it was all in good faith. But the radical things I said on the radio show, now a number of people have listened to that radio show since then because of this controversy, and they don't think I said anything radical. They think it's very clear. In fact, I think, Randy, you were one of the ones that pointed out, if you listen to the show very carefully, if you consider the guy that you were going to take into the woods and take care of couldn't be a patriot if he was planning the act that was being talked about at the time. Now, the act was very specific. We were talking about four old men in Georgia and one young man who got involved with them and claimed that he turned them over to the government for the purpose of protecting the public in Atlanta. The plan that supposedly they had concocted was to make ricin gas and spread it indiscriminately on the freeways in Atlanta, Georgia. No government target, no specific target, just on the freeways or the interstate in Atlanta, Georgia. Indiscriminately killing innocent people while driving down the highway. Now, his argument was he was doing it to save these people on the interstate. But he never, in all the audio recordings that have been provided between him and the four old men, members of the militia, never did he try and talk them out of it. So that began the conversation on the Infiltrator program. He did not try and talk them out of it. If he was a good patriot, he would have said, that's a bad idea. You know, if you want to pick a government target, that's one thing. But indiscriminately people, killing people, no, that's something you do not do if you're a true patriot. And then the discussion progressed. Now, what do you do if somebody's doing that? You try and talk them out of it. Next step, if you have to, steal their supplies from them so they can't carry out that evil deed. The next step, if you can't steal the supplies, can't find them, is if you have to, take them out in the woods and take care of them. But at that point, they're very conclusively not patriots. And the final step, the one of last resort, and this is the one that Rick really didn't like for some reason, is if they're on their way to commit the deed and you couldn't stop them, then call the police department and tell them what's happening. Carries in everything you can and tell them you need, you know, if you have to shoot to kill, this guy is going to kill innocent people. So those were the four steps that were discussed that evening. Now, if that's radical, I guess it would be better to let him do it or turn him over to the federal government without even trying to talk him out of it, which is what Joe Sims did. So I don't know if that's radical or not. But when I was in Waco, I found a law that basically said if excessive force is used in the service of warrant, you have to have every right to defend yourself with force or even deadly force Now, also down in Waco, that's section 931, Texas Penal Code. I think 933, Texas Penal Code, says that you have the right to use deadly force to keep another person from injuring or taking another person's life. Now, Texas, Rick Lightstate, recognizes the right to do that. So, is it radical for a patriot to deal with a situation like that when at least Texas law, I haven't looked into Georgia law, but Texas law allows that to, for you to legally use deadly force to keep somebody from committing an act like that?
In almost every state I've lived in, New Mexico, Colorado, Washington, even Washington State, which, you know, they would like to be like Chicago if they could, if it was, you know, Seattle anyways would like to be like Chicago where there are no guns, but in every state I've lived in, the right to use deadly force is defined by three guidelines: ability, opportunity, and jeopardy. And they all revolve around the ability, the opportunity, and there being jeopardy of severe bodily harm or threat of death to yourself or to a third party. And also, and you would mention that as well, you know, would we consider somebody who's planning on engaging in murder, murdering innocent individuals, or mass murder of innocent individuals, is that a patriot? Not in my book. I don't know what anybody else's book, but in my book, no. That's a mass murderer. You know, and I had gone back myself, because I don't always catch everything on the show. You know, sometimes I'm paying attention to the chat or something else. I don't catch everything that everybody says. So I went back and I listened twice. I did not hear that. I know that Tomahawk listened. I know, hell, Kerry Light listened. Lots of people listened to that. And they all came back and they said, I heard nothing of that sort. So, you know, I think that point is valid. But again, in all fairness, you know, I thought that, you know, the board needed to discuss this with the delegate. Nothing against you, Gary. But I felt the board needed to discuss it and to, if nothing else, close it out, close that chapter and say, there's nothing here.
Well, you don't have to say nothing against me, Randy, because remember in my original memo, I said I'm turning it over to the board for them to make the decision. It's not mine to make. That's why I wrote that memo, to hand it over to the board for them to decide whatever they chose. Course they chose to pursue to deal with this, but it's out of my hands, because if I stayed involved in it, then I'd be an arbitrarily deciding to move the website or do this or do that, and that's what I have tried to avoid through this entire thing. Now, the last part of that last email I read by Peter, or the last paragraph, Patriot Unity Coalition will live on at patriotunitycoalition.org. For respectable patriots to join where they can freely join or leave as they please. Perhaps you can keep your site going for anyone who wishes to remain listed. May I suggest a new name, RUC, Radical Unity Coalition. Now, it's interesting that he says can freely join or leave as they please. However, as at least one person found out, he was given the choice, you cannot stay on this page if you stay on that page. But that only applied to one person, because both pages continued to carry about 15 organizations that had not been requested to move removed from the original PUC site and were also shown on the new PUC site. But one individual at least, and perhaps others, were told you cannot be on both sites. So yes, they were forced to leave if they didn't make the right decision. They just make it sound like they're good guys. So, now, as far as this thing with Mike Freebird, and I think it warrants a little more consideration, because I gave a very brief summary of what happened. Mike and I, ultimately the decision was Mike's, and it was initiated by my conversation with Mike. But Jeff Tindall, Watchman of Florida, was involved in this, and so he voluntarily submitted an email to the mail list, and I'm going to read portions of that. Let me see if I can shed some light on the situation with Watchman here. The first thing I would like to say is I am disappointed in in the some of the emails I've been reading coming from people resigning over this matter. I do agree with many of you that some of the situation was handled incorrectly and should have been handled by following the rules and guidelines set forth by the PUC. When Rick Light contacted me about the PUC, I thought it was a great idea and there was a great need for such an organization, a place where delegates from groups all over the country could bring issues, concerns, and even work on building working relationships with other groups, and a place to work out differences and disputes with one another behind closed doors to help with the unity and prevent damaging the Patriot movement in public. As I said above, I spoke to Rick and Mike Freebird during the very beginning stages and conception of the PUC. This was before the forum or Gary had even set up the site for the PUC, before the logo was even done, before there was a PUC to join. It was discussed with myself, Rick, and Mike Freebird that there needed to be an independent site or URL for PUC, and the PUC not be on Watchman site or the RAM site. It needed to be detached from these sites. In the same discussion with Mike Freebird, Rick, Gary, and myself, it was decided that there needed to be some ground rules or bylaws developed for the PUC. With Gary's background and his years of knowledge in common law court, it only seemed fitting for Gary to draft these rules for the PUC. After the rules were drafted, they were emailed and posted on the forum and sent out in an email for review and discussions to revise and clarify and then finalize them for the public posted. Everyone involved at the time voted on these rules and approved them for public posting. Now for the confusing part. From what I was told, Gary called Mike Freebird and asked him to hold off on the PRN site only because he already had the WOA site, Watchmen of America site, registered. Gary had also requested that Mike Freebird ask the Watchmen state groups to hold off for some time to allow other groups to sign up. So it did not look like the deck was stacked and not look like Watchmen ran PUC. When I was told this, I called Rick and talked to him about the rules. Then I called Gary and had the same discussion. With my discussion with Freebird, it appeared to me that the Watchmen of Florida group application was going to be rejected. And through my discussion with Gary and visiting the PUC, my original assumption was wrong and the Watchmen of Florida site was indeed added to the PUC. Turned out that Gary's request to Mike Freebird was to ask the rest of the Watchmen state groups to hold off until the 30 delegates had been established and these types of matters could be worked out with the delegation with an organization such as Watchmen. In the final discussion with Rick, Gary, Free, and myself, we had come to resolve these matters in the very beginning. All was well. We moved forward. This was an old matter and had been worked out and placed to the side until it could be properly addressed and dealt with by the delegation once it was formed. So that disputes what Rick had made claim to about the whole thing with Watchmen. Rick was involved in those discussions, and he tries to lay the blame on me for coercing Mike to do it. Later, Jeff sent another email and excerpts from that. This looks like a gangbang fest on Mr. Hunt to me. I cannot see in any post or emails where Mr. Hunt had done anything wrong, and this is why everyone needed to man up and take these issues before the board and delegates to be heard and discussed. The way that this has gone down, I feel that there are some things that are trying to be covered up and shoved under the rug, not to be seen by the PUC or the Patriot community. This is a prime example of why we are unable to build unity and will never have true unity within the Patriot movement. It's too much of ego and power struggle for some to come to the table as an equal and place their BS ego aside. Now, earlier I mentioned that we'll go further into how long ago Rick had planned this. The date that we have so far had at this point was the 19th, which when I went to the domain lookup, I found out that that site was registered on the 19th of March. But then on April 1st, Tomahawk jumped into the fray. And So I'm going to read portions of that email. Now, understand Tomahawk's position. Nancy Genovese has two sites listed there. The ARMAMM site and the PLD site, which is, what is PLD?
Patriot Legal Defense.
Patriot Legal Defense, okay. So she had two sites. So she did both applications, which we'll get into too, because there's something rather interesting in that. But she designated herself as delegate on one, and because one person can't delegate two sites. Other people that had two sites would only have one delegate. But she wanted two delegates. She wanted the influence, double vote influence in the board. So she assigned Tomahawk to be delegate to the ARM-AMM site. So in Tom's email to the list, he said, I told Nancy that I need to clarification by the owners before I sought to remove myself. Now, this is after Nancy kept insisting, Tom, I said Tom's to the delegate. He's the legal representative to the PUC board. And so he said, I told Nancy I need clarification by the owners before I sought to remove myself from the PUC. I woke up this morning feeling sickly and hopped on here only to find that I have been banned from the ARM site. I have to assume that Nancy has done this because she is listening to Rick, as they are good friends. She is blocking me from communicating with the owners of the site, which I was wishing to explain this ordeal to. Her roguish actions are very suspect to me, that she allowed herself to be manipulated by Rick, whom I believe is being manipulated by someone else. There seems to be an ongoing agenda against Gary Hunt for the past month or two of this whole mess stems from this agenda. Rick had me investigate Gary Hunt a couple weeks back and tried to convince me that Gary Hunt was, now a couple weeks back, puts it at least, this is April 1st, at least back in the middle of March. But he's saying a month or two that he's been noticing these things. So Rick had me investigate Gary Hunt a couple weeks back, and I tried to convince me that Gary Hunt was some sort of informant or provocateur. I know Gary fairly well, but I said I would look into it and give him a report. I determined that Gary Hunt is no such thing, and my research to connect him to the OKC bombing was that it is possible that Gary may have known about some type of action or planning, but to what extent is inconclusive, if Gary even knew anything. So to me, this all comes back to Rick's agenda to slander Gary for whatever reason. I gave my report to Rick, and he still goes and tries this BS to destroy Gary PUC and is talking about leaving RAM. So here we go back at least 2 weeks prior, Randy, to middle of March, say the 15th or thereabouts. But when he says a month or two, apparently something even earlier than that was working in Rick's mind regarding Gary Hunt. Then going on with the email, my conclusion to all this is that Rick has it in for him to slander Gary for whatever reason. I am patiently waiting for Nancy Genovese to unban me, or if I have to go another route to communicate with those that I work for, it will not be pretty. Not be a pretty report about her immature actions. In a subsequent email, Tom wrote on April 1st, now Wright is claiming that Gary is telling us to kill each other. This is the most retarded thing I have ever heard. This whole thing makes no sense. I re-listened to that show and find no reason for any of this at all, other than Rick is hearing what he wants to hear to have an excuse to slander Gary. I know Rick is out to slander Gary because he called me doing so and gave me the info to look at, and he tried to get me to do the same. I gave it a look and found nothing there. Again, however, this falls on Rick. The whole thing does. Oh, I got to take a break from reading for a minute. But see, now we're beginning to get a picture that goes back well before Rick got the website.
Well, it looks like it. I mean, and that's, you know, and again, you know, this whole thing stemmed from the actions of one man trying to assert, or actually going, engaging in acts beyond his authority. I know that I was, you know, I didn't even know that the site had been moved or that, or anything until that email came out. And apparently it had been moved for over a week.
And I was the only one that knew, except for Peter and Rick.
Well, no, because some other people, because other people had told me, you know, that they had heard about it a week before. That the site had been moved a week before.
The other people knew that?
Yeah, there was a couple of other people that said that Rick had told them. I did not know. I'm a delegate. I should have known. I should have been told, if nothing else. I should have been asked if this was acceptable. You know, that was my problem with the entire actions. You know, I'm tired of, you know, me personally, when I wrote that email, you know, I wasn't angry at anybody. When I answered back, when I made my initial response back to it, and I think I was the first one to respond to it, I asked for a meeting to be held. One, to look into Rick's actions to find out if they violated the PUC guidelines, and two, to look into his claims against you. Now, what was interesting, though, is that you weren't even a member, correct?
Well, Randy, I think we became members on March 23rd, both of us, because I was talking you into joining the PUC, and you finally relented and decided that you would. But after
relented.
After the transfer was made on the 22nd, I think, was when I had the redirect up, and the day after the conversation, I had the redirect up, and the 22nd was the date of that email to Peter making him moderator. So on the, I think on the 23rd, both of our applications went in, but we weren't posted and given dates until the 24th. But see, it was out of my hands now. I had made arbitrary decisions on allowing people that did software in, because they'd made applications and said they were patriot-oriented. I had no choice. It was, my function was administrative, but I would not approve myself. But once Peter took it over, I decided, hey, I'm going to join as outpostoffreedom.com. And it happened to be the same date as yours, which is why I remember it, because okay. I decided to put you first on the list and then me second.
So then when I had joined the site, the group had already been usurped then already.
Yes, it had, and I think when I gave you the email address, you might not have recognized it, but it was the new site. It was at I think webmaster at patriotunitycoalition.org, and you may not have recognized it.
I never even noticed it.
Yeah, just used that email address Gary gave me, so you did.
Now Rick had mentioned that. This is all you're doing. If you would just accept it, if you would just stuck to the agreement as an honorable man would have, none of this would have happened.
And I would have had those two things not occurred, that they decided to be arbitrary on dealing with Texas State militia when an agreement was made. And, you know, I was a businessman. I was county surveyor in Orange and Seminole County, Florida, for a total of 6 years. I had my own business for 15 years. And I'm meticulous, you know, I don't screw things up. I like to abide by my contracts, my agreements. And so I was meticulous in corresponding with Terry Melton, for example, on the wording for Texas State Militia. And arbitrary decisions is not unity. That's taking power. And so those things bothered me. And then I talked to both Peter and Rick about correcting the TSM, Texas State Militia site. Oh, yeah, we'll take care of that. Don't worry. Oh, then Rick told me, Peter's real busy. He'll get to it. Well, he was able to add a few more members, but he wasn't able to go in and type in four words, delete some words and type in four words. So, you know, I just had a very uncomfortable feeling. So, as I said in that memo that I put out, I'm concerned about this, and I think the board needs to consider what's happening. Now, I know there were other people that were never notified of the new site. I don't think I ever asked you. We joined late, and I assumed you knew because of the email address that you didn't pay attention to. But there were other people that have never been notified of the change in site. I spoke to somebody this morning that didn't know that she was on that new site, the new PUC site. So it gets rather disconcerting when you think about it. And so I got this queasy feeling. If I went along with this, then I'm conspiring with them to steal the site and take it over, because the impression I got was they were trying to take it over.
Well, when the guidelines are strict, you know, my problem was this. I already have enough issue with the government doing whatever they want and ignoring the rules. I think that honestly, if we patriots, and I'm using the finger quotes around that word, I think there are very few real patriots out there. I think there's a lot of people who like to pretend. It's like a little game of dress up for them. But I truly believe there are very few patriots out there anymore. You know, but when we ourselves, who scream to the heavens about the government absconding with power, usurping their authority, usurping our authority, and taking it for themselves, violating the laws, the regulations, the very guidelines that were set down for them to obey, and they act as they will of their own accord and their own volition, then how the hell am I not supposed to hold us to that same to those same standards that we expect of them?
Well, I agree.
That was
my problem.
That was my problem. Rick acted without authority.
Yeah, I think the whole concept behind the Patriot community, regardless of methods and everything else, is we want the government to abide by the written rule, the Constitution. We're told in school this is a nation of laws, not of men. So the Patriot community expects the government to abide by the Constitution. Now, our Constitution, the PUC, is the guidelines. We adopted them. We didn't ratify them, a little bit different, but we adopted them. How can we expect the government to abide by the rules when we can't even abide by the rules we make for ourselves? They weren't forced upon us, I don't think. We all agreed to them, and the next thing we talk about is going to be that email, that application email. So,
well, now that,
you know,
are
we that big a hypocritical that we expect the government to abide by the rules, but we can say screw the rules?
Well, let's go into that for a second now, because according to Nancy Genovese and her emails, those rules were never accepted or adopted or anything.
Well,
I don't know. I wasn't around then, but I know that when I got my email, it said I agreed to abide by the guidelines of the PUC.
Well, I've got they're in proper order. This email from Nancy Genovese is dated December 2nd. She was the second day that we took applications for the PUC. Application for becoming a member. Application for becoming a member of the Patriot Unity Coalition. Now, I'm just going to read.
You broke up there for a second. What was that now? Application for what?
For becoming a member of the Patriot Unity Coalition.
Okay.
Now, name of organization, Patriot Legal Defense. And I'm just going to read parts of this. Contact person, Nancy, a.k.a. Mystic Star. Email address, phone number, and then down further. I understand that by submitting this application, I, representing the organization, agree to the following: to abide by the guidelines below established for membership in the coalition, to set aside all differences between our organizations and any other organization that is a member of the coalition, that I agree to the dispute resolution form indicated in the rules, and that upon being accepted as a member of the Patriot Unity Coalition, I will faithfully abide by the above. By affixing my name hereto and submitting this to the Patriot Unity Coalition at PUC@committee.org, I agree to the above, Nancy Genovese. And then in the same email below that, it has the guidelines, and it lays out all 11 guidelines that we had adopted, and that was from Nancy Genovese. That was in December 2nd.
That's the same email application that I filled out, because that's what mine said. That's what mine looked like. So, well, you know, again, you know, like I've always said, you know, the problem with most Americans and most patriots, we forgot how to read.
I just put my name on the paper. I didn't know I joined the Army.
I didn't read it. You can't hold me accountable. I didn't read it.
Right. Read the fine print, dummy.
Now, so where does this leave the PUC at, Gary? Or is there more that we have to go into? Because, I mean, we've got people conspiring behind the scenes. We've got people insinuating that, you know, members of the PUC, which is one of the guidelines, we shall not speak badly of each other, but you weren't a member, so I guess he can say whatever he wants about you, because that's kind of the guidelines. We can't talk bad about each other. We can talk bad about anybody else, though. But it seemed like there was some underhandedness. It seemed like there was some underhandedness going on in the background already.
It was behind closed doors when it was going through the mail list, but somehow it leaked out, and believe me, but I was hearing from other people what was happening. So somebody was letting this stuff get out.
Where is the PUC now? Or is there somewhere else that we need to go?
You know, disaster in the PUC, but, you know, I look at it a different way. To me, I'm optimistic. I don't understand how pests think. You know, how can everything be bad? Everything is good. Everything's wonderful. Things work out the ways that they're supposed to. Was this a bad ordeal for the PUC? Question, how long would it take to get rid of the people that eventually would show their hands and not be willing to abide by the guidelines and the rules established and agreed to? Could take months, could take years. Now, wait a minute. In one fell swoop, we got rid of the dead one.
Yeah, they might never go away. They just might sit there and cause conflict and strife constantly.
Right, but look at how many we got rid of now. So now the people that have remained with the Patriot Unity Coalition, the original Patriot Unity Coalition, I should say, not the new Patriot Unity Coalition, have staying power. They believe in the concept of the Patriot Unity Coalition, and they're willing to hang in there and put up with all this stuff that's been going on and bear with it, because they have hopes that this will be will achieve the goal that was desired at the beginning when we first talked about it last November. So we got rid of those bad people. That's a good deal. I see the silver lining in this cloud for some reason. You know, we've just got to learn to make the best of it. So we've got to reduce membership, and we'll just go ahead, full steam ahead. We'll talk about whether we want to keep the name and fight over it, or whether we want to change the name. There are some things that have to be discussed, but we've got some reasonable people, so we'll see where we go and make that silver lining even brighter. Anyway, back to Nancy Genovese. Grab your seats, people. I'm not going to entertain any internet drama by continuing this conversation via email or any form of public platform dedicated to drama, in uppercase letters and quotation marks. And the truth of the matter is, I wanted to leave this group in December 2011. Well, wait, that's when she put her application in and agreed to abide by the rules. Is Nazi Germany where you are dictating what sites cannot remove themselves? This appears to be a form of control and drama to me, both of which I do not wish to be part of. Now, let me explain something. Texas State Militia is a good example. They could not join because they didn't have the approval of the board. But to keep their place and date in the enrollment, I made an administrative decision that if we put up pending board approval, which is Terry Moulton's suggested wording, that they could stay. If at that time he said I wanted to withdraw Texas State Militia at this time, I would have withdrawn them. Any time up to March 29th, when I put this to the forum, if somebody had asked to be removed, I would have removed them as an administrative function. Now, when I began this, though, I read my memo, and I said, I'm turning this mess over to the delegates. Now, at that point, I washed my hands of that administrative capacity, and as we see, I was attacked for just about anything and everything by some people. But one of the things I made clear is I'm handing this over to the board. So I even suggested that if three members of the board agree to your removal, I'll follow their direction and remove you from the site. But I can't touch this. I have removed myself from that administrative function since I'm the one that brought this to the board. And she's calling me Nazi Germany. Oh, wow. I don't think it worked that way there then, but it does work that way that here now, when somebody says, I am not going to become arbitrary and make decisions when I've handed it over. And all you need is three people to say, take her out, and I would take you out. And we'll get even more funny on that in a few minutes. We should have pulled the two sites in December 2011 like we wanted to. However, we did want to give this PUC a chance. It didn't work. Gary, more problems I see. No one had any right to change what the rules were, along with you deciding conveniently how to have no way to remove the sites from a page only you were able to add sites to. Well, usually there's a webmaster, yes, and I guess I was webmaster for the site.
Now, was that agreed upon by people when they...
Oh, I think so. That's, they all came...
It was agreed upon that it would be put at committee.org, right? Because it was a neutral ground.
Yeah, and the address, PUC at committee.org. I mean, everybody knew it was committee.org, and there was no objection to sending emails to PUC at committee.org. If I read all of these, they're going to the mail list, except that application of Nancy's that I read. That went to PUC at committee.org. The rest of these are going to Patriot Unity Coalition at oneamericanpatriot.com. Which is an automated mail list. You send them an email to that address, and it goes out to all the members. You reply to that address, it goes out to all the members. Great way of communicating. Somebody leaves the group, they're no longer included. You add somebody, from that point on, they're included. It's a lot better than having long to lists and CC lists and things like that, where if somebody quits and somebody replies to something, it goes to them anyway. It doesn't get cut off. So it's functional. But anyway, the method of removal was made clear, and because of Nancy's persistence, I said, I can't remove you. That's for the board to decide. And we'll get to the next step, making it a little easier in a minute. I don't think so, Gary. I find a way to remove the two sites officially, as per the formal request of the site owner and admins. Both ARM and PLD were to be the lead people in meetings and making such decisions. That didn't happen either. The whole PUC you have taken over did nothing to remove us from your own Liberty Tree page, PUC. Now, she said both ARM and PLD were to be the lead people in meetings and making such decisions.
Were they?
That's what she said.
I thought this was equal one organization, one vote, one say.
Yeah, I guess she didn't read the guidelines that she signed. Well, that aside, again, I gave it to the board. You know, the board didn't ask me to take it back.
And who is ARM? Who is ARM? I mean, it's a dead forum board with nobody in there. Who is ARM?
Nancy Genovese and Rogue Sniper 1776, care of Nancy Genovese.
But isn't the American Resistance Movement leaderless resistance?
Mm.
When did she become the leader?
I don't know. I'm not a member, so I couldn't really answer that, but I think that maybe they'll get their act back together after this chaos. Next email.
I just find these little hypocrisies. Excuse me, sorry for that.
next email. Now, remember, everybody was part of the administrative board, right? Every delegate is a member of the administrative board. Gary, you had no right to do such a thing. You, Gary Hunt, had no right to elect a board and add my two sites to this mess. I didn't add her sites. She did. I read you one of them. I do have another email from Nancy making Tomahawk the delegate for the ARMAMM site. But I didn't elect a board. The board is every delegate member. The only people that aren't represented, an example, Amelia Foxwell has Liberty News and New Colony Media. So she only gets one delegate. Mike Freebird, when he came on with PRN, only one delegate. Nancy Genovese has two sites, two delegates. Oh, wait, take that back. Let's get back to Mike. Mike recognized that he doesn't need two votes. He just wants both sites to be members of the Patriot Unity Coalition. So nobody else had a problem, even though it was not addressed in the guidelines. They felt it was unfair to get a double vote because they got two web pages.
That was one of my concerns when I joined. I looked at that and I was like, well, look at all these people, man. These are all the same people. All these sites are the same people. Is this a stacked deck or what are we doing? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, if you only have one delegate, it's not a stacked deck, is it?
Unless a delegate was, just a puppet.
Well, that's the ARMPLD sites. The one of the difficulties in the Constitutional Convention was how do we represent states, by population or by state? So they came up with a good compromise. Two senators and representatives based on population. when somebody's bigger than everybody else, should they get extra power?
No.
If they get big enough, they own the show, don't they? It's like buying shares out in the stock and eventually becoming the majority shareholder. There's a guy named Jerry Emery. If he put all his sites on there and had delegate for each site, he'd probably have 150 delegates.
Yes, he would.
Anyway, repeating what she said, you, Gary Hunt, had no right to elect a board, there's no elected board, and add my two sites to these mess. I added them at her request, based on her application. So, you got to kind of wonder how the thinking process works in some people when they say things like that. Then going on, next email, those guidelines were created long after we created the page and added our sites. We will not abide by them. Remove our two pages from the clutches of evil. You make up rules as you go along. We went out of this mess and we went out now. End of discussion. Well, that last phrase, not quite, but.
And all I asked for was a meme.
Guidelines were created long after we created the page and added our sites. Now, I'm a magician because I managed to slip them in that email that I read to you.
Was that sarcasm?
Of course, I never knew I had. So we will not abide by them. But wait, twice in that. Agree to abide by the guidelines at the beginning and at the end. Agree to abide by the guidelines. Nancy, you sign something without reading what you're signing, you suffer the consequences. That's called justice because the other person is relying on your signature, meaning you understand what's called meeting of the minds, the contract that you signed. So, you have nothing but sympathy for me, Nancy. It's a shame that somebody didn't give you working parts. Going on with her next email. I am sorry, but I am replying only via email and was not aware of any message boards these emails are generating from. I would like the link for the boards or for the area these posts are being made ASAP so I may follow said direction to remove the sites. I did attempt to use the site that a link was sent to me and was not able to access the area. I will never remain vigilant with any forum making so many demands on any site owners or admins. Please advise me in the time frame needed to do what was required to get away from another dictatorship.
Now, she's only the delegate for Patriot Legal Defense, right?
Right.
But she's demanding the removal of ARM.
Right.
And is she the registered delegate?
No. Nope. And delegate is a legal representative by definition.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, is she the legal representative for ARM?
No, I think that makes her a dictator, doesn't it?
That's the point I was getting to.
I knew that.
The pot calling the kettle black, I guess. Or the pot trying to call the kettle black and the kettle's really white, but hey.
Well, there was no message board that these were on. Now, I did give the link for some people to catch up. There are archives on mail lists, like Yahoo groups and things like that, but it's a privately owned one. It doesn't belong to Yahoo or Google, but it's quite similar. And I gave the URL for the archives if somebody wanted to go review what was said, because all the emails that went to this list are still posted in the archives, and they will be there if anybody ever wants to see them. But she said, please advise within the time frame needed to do what is required to get away from another dictatorship. Now, this is kind of interesting because it was on Saturday, March 31st. And I said, okay, I'll make it easier. If three delegates say to remove a site, I will I'd gotten past the three delegates, I was specific on what they had to write and that they had to do this by the following Friday, which would have been April 5th or 6th or 7th, 8th, something, somewhere along there. This is on the 31st. So she had a whole week, and she's getting upset because, again, she didn't read that you have until next Friday. Please advise the time frame needed to do what is required to get away from another dictatorship. Now, I think I repeated the front time frame once, and finally I said, go back and read the damn email. I mean, dealing with her is, I don't want to say pissing in the wind on the internet, so I won't. You should not be surprised, this her next email, you should not be surprised at anything at this point. You sent bits of pieces of info. I'm looking for the place you claim there is info to remove ourselves from your site. It's actually, it's the PUC site. Yet you make it near impossible to find. I'm not playing games with you. Please give me the link to the post I need to read to get away from this group before your dictating time frame comes to an end. She's getting anxious. Still on Saturday. We have wasted too much time on this. Am I supposed to now register on this email page to access this information? It's on the email page. You now create a doc or info telling us we can remove ourselves, then you make it difficult to locate, and you add a time frame to such info. I have better things to do, and I'm very busy right now. Just give me the link to the place this info is posted so I can get it and read it and done with it. It was all in one email, and she seems to act like it's spread all over the entire World Wide Web. Then she, continuing on same email, one, I am objecting to your info being hidden from us who do want out. Two, I also object to your time frame added to this info. Three, I am asking for more time to locate and read and correspond with said instructions. I am very busy with family business. I have company, and you are still playing games. Now, I had given her the name, and it, I think the name of the subject on the email was something like, for those who, that wish to leave and those that wish to stay. I think it was very clear as far as the subject line, and I'm sorry I didn't copy that to include here, but the subject line, I was just getting tired of the bullshit. The delegates were not making a decision, so I posted that email with the subject line, for those who wish to leave and those who wish to stay. I think that sounds kind of stands out like a sore thumb, but she couldn't seem to find it. Going on with
see, Nancy, I get, you know, but again, you know, I mean, the full detail. I was privy to all these emails that were going back and forth. It was explained. It was explained in there how to be removed.
Yeah, I think some other people jumped in and tried to answer her question, and she didn't have time to read those. So she did have plenty of time to blather, but no time to read. Next email, same day. I am objecting to this time frame to ask for removal of our sites. Whomever has to extend the time frame to remove our sites, I'm asking that be done. Well, this is on Saturday, and the following Friday, 6 days later, she still wants us to extend that because she didn't read one email. There's no way I can read through all these emails and register for the page. Find the post you speak of and apply for them to be removed by the end of this day. Therefore, I'm asking you all to extend the time frame to remove our site so I can go to my company. Gary didn't keep his word to all of us who signed up in the beginning. He made up rules as he went along, rules that benefit Gary and or this site. The first 30 people who signed up were to meet, discuss his rules. That never happened. Now, they were to meet and change that, and that was in the bylaws, Nancy, but again, back to that reading comprehension problem. Oh, okay, now here, this is March 31st, same day. You know, she's talking about all these emails, and I think if we went back and counted all the emails that went through that list, Nancy Genovese probably had more emails than anybody else. Every time she turned around, this is 5 in 1 day from her. She says, Gary, I've been looking for this, and quite frankly, I've wasted an entire afternoon looking for it. I have no desire to read your page. I just need the link where I can find this post. I do not need anyone reposting anything on my behalf, as the header below indicates. I have sent out via email. May I have the link directly to this information? Are we going to wait until there's no time left to do so? This is still on Saturday. And then she took out of my email the subject line on the email in question, for those who wish to leave and those who wish to stay. Now, my reply to her was, Nancy, the time limit is really pretty tough. You have just less than a week to remove yourself. All the information is here on the mail list. You do not have to register anywhere. Just a little reading will do. Read the last post from me, and that's the one that had that title in it. By the way, the guidelines rules were in place before anybody signed up for PUC, so get off your high horse. You just didn't take the time to read them. Then she comes back and says, I read the rules. I also know you didn't do as promised. When I added both sites and before enforcing such rules, you started enforcing the rules Friday. We were to vote on all this, and you took control again. Ah, the whole point, Nancy, is I divested myself of control, and I turned it over to the board. As far as having a vote, you have to have something to vote on. That means you have to discuss it, but she didn't think of doing that. I suggest you get off your power trip and stop the games. I read what was needed from midday yesterday. It seems wherever these emails are also posting is not made available to us. We're not receiving all correspondence either. As a matter of fact, I had not even did not even see anything about these messages until yesterday. I have no idea what you are doing, Gary, but again, I want out. You have no right to become a dictator over a group that Rick started and you took control of. Wait a minute. I'll just go on past that one. I know for a fact, Gary, because you were not invited to the very first meeting Rick put together. You were shutting us down until I got you that invitation to the first meeting. No one likes to be controlled, Gary. You have turned something good, this PUC, into a joke as usual. It seems anything you had a hand in turns to garbage, and I want no part of it. Well, I thought Rick was in charge, but apparently Nancy was in charge in the beginning. Okay, that's all of the ones of Nancy that I've gathered for this program. But now we get into Rick Light. Now this is getting close to the end, folks. Just bear with us a little longer so that you fully understand the absurdity of this whole thing. Rick Light, March 29th. I find it real funny that I had to be notified of this display of the attempt to take over the PUC by members that are getting these emails, not by receiving one myself, but by members receiving them and notifying me about these emails going out to every one of your members over my phone. It's not going over his phone. This is an unhanded action by Mr. Hunt indeed. Now, what happened with that, and I explained it in a subsequent email, I said, Rick, there was an error in the mail list. I didn't catch it, and Peter didn't catch it until your post came in. The mail list was set up after a number of members hadn't signed up. I was copying and pasting from the application emails, and as you can see, it ended up with phone after .com. My apologies sincerely. I've corrected the mail list. You can catch up on what has gone through the list at, and then I give them the URL to the archives. Now, I took an image of the listing for Rick Light's. He was added back on December 1st, but no emails had gone out on this list, so it was not caught. But it says Minuteman at Texas-Skies.com phone. So apparently his email, the address, and then the request for the phone number got grabbed together. Now, later on, we'll find that he didn't buy that. But got to understand, when most of the people on the list know Rick Light personally, why would I deny him access to the mail list, knowing that he would get it anyway? I'd just be opening myself up for what did happen because of an accident by being dumb enough to intentionally do it on purpose. So logic comes in there, but you know, if anybody wants to accuse me of subverting his email address so that he didn't got to get the email, I got broad shoulders, I'll take it. And then he goes on, everyone knows that I founded the coalition. It took me 2 long years to bring the coalition into being, many days in their arguments to get Patriot to realize we stood stronger together than apart. I truly felt blessed that several stood up to help born the PUC. My idea of giving the PUC its own site is not a takeover at all. It's simply giving the PUC the ability to be free of any ties to any site instead of being hosted on another where it sits stale as an ornament with an icon on our page, site pages. Mr. Hunt clearly stated he didn't have the time for the furtherment of the PUC. The PUC should be on its own entity on its own site so it can further its purpose.
Do you mind if I jump in there for a second? Go ahead and finish because I've got something to add to that.
As it was intended to do along with its delegates deciding what was deemed fit.
With the delegates deciding, I didn't decide anything.
I paid for the site, so you delegates can control the PUC destiny. Anyone in the Patriot community should know by now, I've never been about control, as Mr. Hunt claims. Mr. Hunt was all on board with the creation of the PUC site. It had been discussed before our personal exchange. Now Mr. Hunt wants to make our personal issue a public demonstration of undue drama among us. His claims that I agreed that I was wrong about our previous talks on the phone about my concern of Mr. Hunt's behavior is incorrect. We agreed to disagree. Okay, Randy.
You know, it's interesting. He said that he wanted the PUC to survive on its own as a haven for patriots to unite, you know, being owned by the patriots. Yet, if you look at this, I mean, let's look at this. He owns the domain name. It's registered under Rick Light. He owns the web hosting. That's also under Rick Light. And he's recently copywritten the Patriot Unity Coalition ownership by Rick Light. So who owns it? It's Rick's little club. Well,
apparently not the PUC, huh? Hmm. Curious. Yes, that's true. His idea of giving the PUC its own site is not a takeover overall at all. It's simply giving the PUC the ability to be free of any ties to any site instead of being hosted on another site where it sits still as an ornament and an icon on our sites. Is it any less stale where it is now? Is it free from any ties? That whole thing just...
Well, I had no choice in whether I stayed or not. I was kicked out because I asked for a meeting to be held. I thought that was my responsibility as a delegate, honestly.
They carried the same guidelines over, didn't they?
I think they did. They might have changed some of them though, because I think it was Sleepy who was discussing the guidelines with them. And apparently there was a meeting held with a very small select group of people who decided that there was going to be an executive committee, and that was already picked long before anybody could ever have any say in it. And of course it's Rick and Nancy, you know, and them.
Mm-hmm. And Sleepy is, by the way, the one that was told that if he stays on the old PUC site, then he cannot stay on the new PUC site. So he was removed. He had to make a choice. So he said, "I'll stay with the old PUC site," and they removed him.
Well, Nancy also attacked him for asking questions. You know, he read through the guidelines and he wanted to stay on both, and so he was reading through the guidelines. He had some questions, and I mean, she sent him a nasty little email. I'd like to get him to read that email.
Well, the background behind that is very simple. They don't have a mail list, so what they do is put everybody's name on the CC. Now, if you forget to say reply to all, it only goes to one person. No, wait, they didn't have everybody in the CC. That's right. It was to Sleepy Salsa from Peter Jeremich. So for Sleepy to have to bring his questions to the entire board, he went and grabbed each of the email addresses on the new PUC site and pasted them in the CC part of the email so that everybody would become aware of his concerns, not just Peter Jeremich. And that's what he really got chewed out for. Nancy responded, Rick responded, and Peter responded, if I remember correctly. But Peter was the only one supposed to receive his reply to this discussion on the bylaws. Does that sound right to you? I think that's what I recall in talking with Sleepy.
That's what I recall as well.
Okay, continuing on the email. Bottom line, Mr. Dutton Hunt didn't have the authority to even ask that potential member such a thing. He claims that he was between him and Mr. Freebird. I beg to differ by asking Mr. Freebird to hold his application, Mr. Hunt. I'm not going to read the rest of this. You heard what Watchman Jeff had to say about this. Rick was part of the decision all along, and he's trying to lay it on my shoulders. Another issue I had with Mr. Hunt was the outrageous comments he made on Randy Mack's show about infiltration. He clearly states that we as patriots should not only steal things we think are dangerous from each other, But if we feel that one of our own is going to do something dangerous to the public, but also by his own words said if we couldn't talk a dangerous patriot out of an act as such, that we should take them into the woods and get rid of them ourselves. The law enforcement was our last option, only if the act was in progress. Here's the link to the show. Now, he stopped saying kill patriots in some of the other things that he had said earlier. The issue was also debated was how we wanted to discredit a patriot by naming things that were in a report that he read out loud on the Randy Mac show, but then mentioned him by name, something Mr. Hunt was telling others they could not do on many sites in the name of PUC. Now, after Mr. Hunt, by his own words to me, said that we have resolved the issue, he thought that the PUC site was a blessing and agreed to redirect its members over that site, suddenly recants his agreement and uses it as a method of attack on me personally and the new PUC site. Now, I don't think I attacked him personally. I laid the facts on the table. Now, there might just be disagreement as to some of the facts, but what he was referring to was, on that same program, I read an FBI report. Now, in a conversation with Rick, he said, well, how do you know the FBI report was true? And I said, look, I knew 60% of that stuff over my association with Kornke and the Patriot community over the last 20 years. But it was an FBI report, and everything that was in that report was said, and to the best of my knowledge, at least 75-80% of it, I had personal knowledge of. And, you know, I'm not inclined to believe that the FBI lies in their reports. You know, it's bad for job future to do things like that. Now, they could be mistaken on some things, but when they said Mark Kornke was arrested for bank robbery and served 6 years in prison, I would assume, and I knew he went to prison, I didn't know how long for, I would assume that Mark Kornke was arrested for bank robbery and served 6 years in prison. When he fled an attempt to service a warrant and got caught in a swamp, I knew that at the time. So most of this stuff was true. Now, I didn't say Mark Kornke was a bad guy, but what I said is when somebody have criminal record, he was implicated in a murder at one point. When somebody has a criminal record as long as Mark Kornke's, I think, and what we discussed on the show, it's a serious concern to the Patriot community because he could be an informant who signed a plea agreement to get out of prison or to stay out of prison. So that was just advice. I didn't say he was bad. I just said be cautious around those people. And I'm going to say it again. If you know somebody was charged with a crime and got off without punishment, unless you have a verdict from a jury of acquittal, be suspicious of him. If a guy's out of prison on probation or parole, be suspicious because he's got a bunch of rules he's got to follow or he's going to go back and serve the rest of his time. So all I'm saying with that record, people ought to be very careful around Mark Kornke about saying anything that they wouldn't want the government to know. Now, what brought this whole thing up is a girl named Wendy was on the New Colony Media, Amelia Foxwell show, and she kept talking about Mark Kornke. And so because of that show, I started asking around, and somebody provided me a PDF of the FBI report, and when I look at it, it sure looks real. But Wendy's implicating Mark Kornke as being very involved in the beginning of Hootery Militia, and Hootery Militia, most of them just spent 2 years in prison, and finally had the charges dropped except two gun charges. That's rather suspicious. So why should I keep a secret facts, not accusations, but facts about Mark Kornke? If you don't want to be warned when something looks pretty rotten, then put some cotton in your ears. But if you want to protect yourself and not be enticed by the wrong people into doing something, understand about them. Now, that show led to the discussion of perhaps an application for people to come to the Patriot community, and I've got a draft of one, and hopefully in the future we can a bunch of us can sit down together and work that draft up into something viable. But we need to start thinking. You know, we go back to the 90s, Viper Militia, West Virginia, Phoenix Viper Militia, West Virginia Militia, militia of Richard McLaren's Republic of Texas, And there were others that I can't recall right now. And then more recently, we've got Schaefer Cox, the Hootery Militia. Who else has been busted recently? The Georgia Militia, the four
Georgia
old men.
Georgia Militia.
See, every one of these has an informant, and most of them have at least one agent as well.
No, let's not, you know, and let's look at, you know, let's go back even further. You know, let's look at the, my mind just went blank.
You want to go back to the anti-war days, the SDS?
Let's go back to the SDS. Let's go back to the, you know, the Council of 100. Let's go back
to the anti-war days first. There's a guy named Karl Marx, and he's still doing research papers on infiltration and different methods the police use to do divisive things. But he wrote and it's available. I mean, if you contact Randy, he can get to me, and I can. I think he's got a copy. He can mail
you. I've got a copy of Pravaka.
Pravaka. And he talks about the infiltration of the anti-war movement back then. And Students for a Democratic Society, one of the more radical groups back then, some of them were set up by the government to entice people in so they can control their motions. And perhaps entice them into committing a crime and get arrested.
You know, and so the funny thing is that a lot of these groups were also funded by British aristocracy who were members of organizations like the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Fabian Society, the Futurist Society, you know, the Club of Rome. I mean, these are the organizations that were funding a lot of these, like the Council of 100. Do you remember them? They would storm the airport, ripping down the fences and getting out of the runways.
Mm-hmm.
That was led by Bertrand Russell. He was a British lord. He was also a member of the Fabian Society, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and he was very predominant in creating the educational system and the whole thought process behind the way we raise kids today, including group masturbation starting in school at the age of 5. Which they're really trying to get pushed in school. They've been trying that for years. And, in fact, his works were the foundation and basis for Julian Huxley when he created UNESCO, which oversees which basically mandates the education system for the world. You know, and he was actually the leader and the founder of the Council of 100. These people that were charging down these airports and running onto the airports, spitting on soldiers.
So Rick would suggest that we ignore these records of people that are susceptible to influence, dominating influence if they're charged with the crime, informants amongst us, or if they're paid agents, that we should ignore their records, their past, their history, and say, hey, let's just open the doors to anybody. We'll ask you a few questions and we'll consider you good, and if you buddy up to me, I'll tell you all our secrets.
Yep.
What a way to run a business. Continuing on in the same email, I like this one. Maybe he's right, you know, I'm a subjective observer to this. Mr. Hunt has a tremendous ego issue and cannot keep his word or seeks to destroy the PUC unless he controls it. I gave the PUC its own site to set it free of control. What we all must ask is why Mr. Hunt has suddenly changed his mind on this issue and is insistent to keep the PUC on his site so we can control these issues he sees fit. It wasn't me that sent out those mass emails, you all. Now, Peter Jeremich is the person managing the new PUC site. He is also a webmaster and include other functions depending on the delegate's findings and requests. Now, here he's saying the delegate's findings and requests on the new PUC site, but I turned it over to the delegates for their findings. And I'm a bad guy. But he praises Peter for doing what Gary did. And damn's Gary. I don't understand. I get lost sometimes.
You know, and didn't Peter Jeremich also write an email where he was basically just saying, I did what Rick told me to do?
Yes, I read that. Rick told me that he talked to Texas State Militia. Rick told me that basically said, go ahead and take over the mail list.
Well,
Yeah, two things. And those are the ones that concern me. That's why I turned it over to the delegates for their findings. Oh, wow. No, I didn't just read his email about Peter. I was talking about me. If there is going to be a delegate meeting on this issue, it should be held on neutral ground. That is the fair way to deal with this. Now, what could be more fair than a mail list? Once we got Rick correctly emailed on this, which he is by this time, by the way, that was corrected immediately when I found out that he was that phone was on the end of the .com. It seems an email list like this is about as neutral a ground you can get, unlike what we explained about Sleepy getting an email from Peter saying, if you have any comments, send them back to me, and I will decide if they go out to other people. And when they went out to other people, Rick and Nancy both flew off the handle because Sleepy questioned an aspect of the guidelines. So what could get more neutral than a mail list where you write to the mail list and everybody receives it? They write back, everybody receives it. Where can you get neutral ground? Where would it be on Peter's site, where Peter decided to send individual emails saying, send your comments to me? Or would it be on a forum where I can't do that? You send it to the email list, it goes to everybody. Where can you discuss it? What is neutral ground? Then continuing on to his next email, and this is on March 29th, anything tied to Gary Hunt will not get my cooperation, period. For me to participate with this any longer is just to indulge the breakup of a great idea that I and others worked hard on. Now, when he says he worked hard on it, and earlier I was going to comment on that, all this diligent work he did putting this together, except for a few participation and discussion of approval of the guidelines, I did all the work putting this together. I didn't ask for payment. I don't care. I thought it was a good idea.
He came up with the name. He came up with the name. Come on now. Or actually,
I don't know.
He come up with the name.
If I remember correctly, I don't think he came up with the name. I think, I'm not sure. I think I suggested it. Maybe somebody else did. It was way back then. But even if he did, if that's all he did, if it took that much brain power, if that's what he considers hard work, then he had to run a web page.
It was his brainchild. You know, this was his brainchild. You know, this was his. It was his idea. You know, and that took you know all of his. You know, that took all of
his mental capacity
there to come up with an idea like this.
Yeah.
Everybody's already had this idea many times before, and they've always failed. Because of, well, gee.
People like Rick Light. Within.
Power struggles within. Wonder how that works out again. So how did it work out for you this time? How'd those elections work out?
Now he says... Then he says, Gary Hunt and I resolved this issue, so it was agreed. I kept my word, and he didn't. But he didn't inform all the members that he'd moved the page. He didn't inform all the members that he'd made these accusations against me. He didn't inform the members that they took over the mail list. He didn't inform the members that there was a news site. He didn't inform the members of anything. Gary Hunt and I resolved this issue, so it was agreed. I kept my word, and he didn't. No, he didn't keep his word because it was obvious by those two incidents that he had taken control of the list, and Peter was his lapdog.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, Gary. The only reason I joined the PUC is because it was housed somewhere else out of Rick's hands and out of Nancy's hands, because every time I get onto their website, I end up deleted and banned because, well, the first time I was banned, or the first time all my stuff was, I was deleted from there and banned, was because you were banned. So therefore, Randy must be banned. Because you got into a discussion with somebody else, and so I have to be banned as well with that. I didn't even know about this discussion. You know, and it seems like every time Rick comes and begs me to come back onto his site, I go. And it ends up being the same thing. I end up being banned or something else, or my account deleted accidentally, is what he likes to say. It must have been an accident, brother.
Well, I'm writing this article now called Vortex, and it's going to talk about the tactics that I've seen over 20 years in the Patriot community that create this sort of division. And one of them is to chum up to people, and as long as they go along with you, you stay good buddies. But if you do something you don't like, all of a sudden you're banned or kicked out or chastised or something turns around. But then if you start being a good guy again, they'll hug you and bring you back into the fold. But you go against them again and they'll push you out. This is manipulation. He can say, look, I was a good guy to Gary. I was real nice to Gary, but then he turned against me. No, I reported to the board and turned it over to them, like according to the rules. But I'm the bad guy because of it, because Rick didn't like something, and I'm not sure what it was. Now, this may go a lot deeper, and that will be the subject of perhaps a future show. But now, this is on March 29th. Remember, Watchman Jeff posted his on April 1st. So here Rick again says, he broke the rule of how applications were to be added. He had no right to ask Mike Ferrybird to withdraw his application after it was submitted. That's the second time he said this, and until Jeff came up and clarified this, the conversation, some of them, that I wasn't even privy to. And it was an issue that came up even later on. You know, what happens? Can Watchmen take over? If they got 50 states and the national, they got 51 votes. That's not fair. So, you know, clearly this is a problem that I didn't anticipate and did not write into the rules and the guidelines. And so we'd worked out early on a solution that everybody agreed to, but I'm the bad guy because I talked Mike out of doing it. But wait, Jeff said Rick agreed with this whole thing. So Gurian clearly is not someone I will back or associate with. If I wanted to control the PUC, I damn sure wouldn't be stepping out of it for the sake of the PUC. Gary Hunt, no, you took it with you. You didn't step out of it, Rick. You took it with you because you want to control it. Gary Hunt didn't want to step down. I stepped down at the beginning. I said I'd turn it over to the delegates. If you can step down any further than that, please advise me how. He wants to control every detail of this effort. Thank you, Rick Light, founder of the PUC and creator of RAM. And then
he
next
to,
pat himself on the back.
Well, I am Randy Mack, founder of helper of establishing hundreds of militias and all this. You know, why don't we just all just broaden our shoulders out so we can easily pat ourselves on the back here for everything we've ever done.
Yeah, Randy
and I
worked.
I thought we'd do this because it's what needs to be done, not for self-aggrandizement.
Randy and I, I learned something a long time ago that I thought was rather fascinating. You got one guy that got an opinion, and another guy's got an opinion. But you put those two guys together, and this third guy comes up with even a better opinion. Now, I don't know how many things Randy and I worked on together, put our heads together, massaged them out, and made them fruit. You have tread on me in the logo we worked on together. The you have tread on me petition about the same time we worked on together. We share the credit because Randy and I developed these things. Now there were other people that I threw some things out to review and they had their input, but Randy and I put these together. I think there's some others that we probably worked on over time, Randy, but we share the credit. And it's very clearly there. Now, there were a number of people involved in PUC, as explained by Jeff. There was Jeff and Mike and Gary and Rick involved in one discussion. Rick takes credit for the whole thing, except he agreed to it, and now he wants to blame it on me. Randy, I'm going to blame you for the petition, and you're abusing the Gadsden flag by adding those extra words. That's deplorable, Randy. You're a son of a bitch. Do you know that?
Then I'll be a son of a bitch.
Yeah, I will too, because I helped you. So, let's see. We have one more from Rick Light. So, Gary, how many times must you be asked to remove members' sites? Holding members' sites hostage isn't freedom at all. Several have sent you requests for removal, and yet you denied their removals. It isn't up to the delegates to vote on removal when the site owner or administrator requests their site removal. It is up to the site owner or administrator at their request, and it should be honored immediately. This just shows your intent on control and refusal of request, thus holding the unwilling members hostage. Again, remove my site and my information from this group and your email list. Refusal to do so could result in legal action? Damn, I thought we were fighting that government. Now, I think a little explanation is noteworthy here. I did not want to see PUC break up. It had two sites. It was up to the delegates to decide if old original PUC or new PUC, OPUC or NPUC, was going to be the proper site. But until the delegates decided, both sites were the same. I had the same members that they did. Now, I divested myself of that, so unless the board said anything, I would be a dictator if I decided I was going to remove it from my site because it was on the other site, which is exactly what Peter and Rick did to Sleepy Salsa. But I had divested myself of any responsibility. It was in the hands of the board, and the best I could do, and one of the things I said during the course of this, and I'm going to give you an example of how that was not abided by, that I am going to keep this site the same as that site until the decision is made by the board. So if somebody removes themselves from both sites, that's fine. If somebody joins, we'll add them to both sites until the board decides, so that whichever page they go to, they're going to get the accurate and current information until such time as a decision is made on which way to go. Now, during all these discussions, nobody ever voted on whether they should go with new PUC or old PUC. However, two emails, one I recall who it was from, and the other one I don't now, but there were two emails that came in where they said, remove me from both sites. One of them was Mike Freebird. My understanding is Mike Freebird is still listed on their site, even though he has to be removed from both sites. And there was one other organization that wanted to be removed from both sites. I don't recall right now. But they are still on the other site. So after this thing finally blew apart, I just said, screw it. Somebody wants off. I'll take them off. But I was trying to force the delegates to take their responsibility. And that's the extent of my efforts to control. Trying to get them to take the responsibility that they agreed to when they became members of the PUC. Now, I know that was long-winded. There were some opinions in there, and I think I made it clear when it's my opinion. There was some hearsay, which is my remembrance of the conversation with Rick Light when he apologized to me. The rest of that, though, 95% of what you heard was read directly off of these emails that are only a small portion of the emails that flew around for that week. So, you know, if you're going to be a delegate to an organization, fess up and take your responsibility as a delegate. Randy?
Well, you know, that's what I did. That's what I tried to do. I tried to do what was responsible. You know, we had concerns. An email went out. I didn't know both sides of the story. I thought my initial response to it, the email that I sent out initially, was rather diplomatic. I said, it sounds like, you know, I don't mean to sound disparaging against Rick or anything. You know, I've known Rick for years. But I have questions and I have concerns. It seems that the board of delegates were completely left out of the loop on this. I said, I'm finding out that other people knew a week ago. I'm just now finding out through this email. This is not the way the PUC was to operate. So I stepped up to the plate. And you know what? What did I tell you, Gary? The first time a problem arose, this was going to happen. And I knew. As I was writing the email, I knew. As I hit send, I said, and this becomes the death of the PUC.
Yeah. Well, Vic called me one day after that, and he said, I'm removing you from RAM site and RAM Facebook page. He just, that's all he said, in a loud voice. And, hey, why am I not surprised? That's control. So, the Liberty Tree Forum, by the way, anybody that wants to join can join it. Anybody who wants to be removed, we will be glad to remove them. So, it's not like I'm trying to control. The reason I stepped aside then, I repeat, it was turned over to the board as per the guidelines that everybody that joined agreed to. So weigh this out, people. And when you start affiliating with other people, we've got to think responsibly. If we walk around acting like children and pissing and moaning and yelling and barking and things like that, what chance have we got restoring constitutional government to this country? Absolutely none. If we get rid of the deadwood, we got rid of a lot of deadwood. If we get rid of the deadwood, we can work better together to achieve the goal that we're all pursuing, or at least some of us are.
So, well, again, it comes down to personal responsibility, and I'm not in this for personalities. I really don't care. I mean, Gary, let's be honest, I'll be quite frank and honest with you, with everybody. The day I come to find out, the day I come to believe that you are detrimental to the cause, I will cut ties with you. If the day comes that I find out that you're an informant, I'll be the first one out there announcing it to everybody. And I would hope that anybody would do that with me, too. I'm not in this for personality. I'm in this for principle. But unfortunately, we've got all these patriot prophets and, gurus and patriot rock stars who think that there's some kind of, everybody wants to be Jefferson. Everybody wants to be Washington. Everybody wants to be an Adams. Unfortunately, all those men are dead. And from what I see, there's very few people that actually understand what those men stood for. Because everybody seems to have their own ulterior motives in this movement anymore, it seems. Everybody's out for the me aspect of it. What can I get out of it? How much, how much recognition can I get? And let's be honest, man. Really? You want to be an internet rock star? Really? Seriously? This is what your big dream in life is? Is to be loved online? I've done this broadcast for 5 years now. I've had 265 people in my chat room before. I've had 2 people in my chat room, and I still do my broadcast whether anybody listens or not, because I do this because it's necessary.
Well, I think a lot of us have found a role that we play that isn't leadership. It isn't the king of the hill or anything. Mine is writing, researching, writing articles, and trying to be as accommodating as I can to the Patriot community, which is why I volunteered to put the PUC page at committee.org, and was willing to take, I never complained about it, willing to take the burden of the load. I was glad to have it off, if it was going to be right. It wasn't, so I had to pass it on to the delegates. Randy's a salesman. There's no doubt about that. I've been spouting committees of safety for close to 20 years. And Randy has done more in the last 3 or 4 years with committees of safety than I did in the preceding 16 years. So we all have parts to play. Now, let's give a little thought to leadership. What is leadership? I'm not a leader. I'm a researcher. I'm a perpetual student of American history. I write things, and I try and accommodate. Randy sells things, but he's not a leader. He's a salesman. He's good at presenting things.
I don't want to be a leader, man. All the leaders end up shot.
What is a leader? Is it the guy with the loudest mouth, the guy that acts, chums up to you as long as you do what he wants and turns against you when you do what he doesn't want? Or is the leader somebody that's close to you? We don't need a national leader. It would never work. If we had a national leader, he would have a car accident or something, a heart attack, believe me, within a week or two. There's no safe place for a leader. So if we had a George Washington right now, and remember, George wasn't a leader for quite some time. It was almost the end of after Yorktown that he was really recognized as a leader. There were no leaders in Philadelphia. There was a whole bunch of people working together like the Patriot Unity Coalition was supposed to work, where the delegates made the decisions, and those decisions then were carried out downstream. But they were peopled by people coming upstream from those downstream elements. There was no leader. There was no God before the Patriot community. George Washington was not a leader until the end of the damn war. So we're looking now for this guy to pop up like Jesus Christ and say, "Follow me." If Jesus Christ popped up now, he would get crucified faster now by the government than Jesus was by the Romans.
Well, you know what? And this is something I've said, and everybody, it seems like everybody out there likes to steal my quotes, man. So I'm starting to have people caught, people actually put, the things that I say with my name behind it, so people actually know whose it really was. I was on a show 5 years ago, And there was some guy on there. He does a Patriot show, but he deals more with, you know, collective consciousness and universal oneness, and, you know, trying to be the next Art Bell type thing. You know, patriotism meets spiritualism meets extraterrestrialism and all this other crap. But we were talking about leaders one day, and they said, you know, we really need a leader. I said, you want a leader? You go look in the mirror, and that person staring back at you, that's the leader. Because in this country, we were all supposed to be free, independent men. Each one of us was supposed to be the kings of our own castle, which means we're all the leaders, which means we all had a responsibility to step up. Unfortunately, though, we don't have people of that caliber anymore. We've got very few of them of that caliber anymore. Most people keep looking for this messianic figure to step up and say, follow me. Well, what the hell? I thought we were free men in this country. I thought we were Americans.
Well,
I didn't think that we needed a leader.
I got to disagree with you a little bit, Randy. It may not be in the mirror, but the leader for your group is probably within 20 miles of you. You know how he acts. You know he listens to everybody, and you know he carries out the will of the others. He may be quiet and soft-spoken, not loud and boisterous. But the leaders you need are local to you. You don't need a national leader. You need to get organized locally. So look around you. Look at the guy that's quiet and listens. And when all the pieces are thrown into the puzzle, he puts the puzzle together and comes out with something that's satisfactory to all, or at least most of the participants. Those are the type of leaders that went from the local committees of safety to the county committees, to the state committees, and then on to Philadelphia. All the way through the Revolution, these people prove themselves at each level as they work their way up. They didn't come out and materialize, as Randy says, the Masonic figure holding his arms up and saying, follow me. It didn't work that way. George Washington was sitting humbly in the corner and was nominated by, I think, John Adams to be the commander of the Continental Army. He accepted the position. He didn't have an army until after Van Steuben got there and taught them how to be an army. Before then, he had a bunch of, not quite misfits, but they weren't trained in military art, and he couldn't win a battle. They got pounded in New York, they got pounded in New Jersey, they got pounded everywhere, until after Valley Forge, when they became an effective fighting force and could go out and take on the British. So the leaders will show themselves. They'll demonstrate by their actions as time goes on. Don't look for them now. Watch for them now. Don't look for them now. Watch for them now. Because when the time comes that you need leadership, if you're watching, not looking, you will know that you've found the leader that you need for your local group. And if he's good enough, you're going to have to share him and send him up the stream to help others get as organized as he's capable of getting you organized. That's leadership. Rick Light.
I agree. You know, every militia I belonged to, the highest rank I've ever held was a corporal, and that's because they forced it on me, because they said they can't have somebody in charge of their PR and public, you know, public speakings being a private. You know, they wanted me to put me at lieutenant. I said no. I said private. They came back with sergeant. I said no, private. They finally forced me to be a corporal. Here in Ohio, Minuteman Militia, I've been in militia since 87. I'm 40. You know, that I was 17 years old. I'm 42 now. Guess what rank I hold? I'm still a private. I don't want leadership. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
And I got to make
up better people out there, but.
I got to make another clarification before this is done. We did try and duplicate the show as much as possible as we did the first time when the technical problems arose. But I want to make a statement. In my 20 years, actually 26, 27 years in the Patriot community, but after Waco with almost full-time participation, I have once before badmouthed the Patriot. Her name was Linda Thompson. She was proclaimed Adjutant General of the United States Militia. And it came as a result of her continual attacks on me. Now, Rick Light and I got along until March 29th, when all I did is tell what had happened so the delegates knew. So if it sounds like I'm bad-mouthing Rick Light. Yes, I will admit, the second time in over 20 or in about 20 years that I have said bad things about a fellow patriot. But in both cases, I have laid the evidence out for what I said. Back then, I wrote articles, I quoted what she was saying about me, and explained the situation as I did tonight on this program. And with Rick, I've read his emails, I've read what he has told Peter, what he's told Nancy, I read what Watchman Jeff and Tomahawk have said about their involvement in this whole episode. They are facts. So if you consider that I'm bad-mouthing a patriot, I've got broad shoulders and I'll take responsibility for what I have done. But understand that I have laid facts out, and those facts are for you to judge. Now, you can talk to Rick, see what he says. If you want copies of any of these emails, I'll be glad to provide them. Ask Randy. I'll get them to him to get to you. And beyond that, I think thanks for listening. And, Randy, be safe.
That's it. Everybody out there, thanks for listening in. Again, as I said, you know, I'm not... You know, I don't do these kinds of shows, and everybody knows that I deal with actual issues. I deal with actual solutions. I try to bring on people who have something to share that I feel promote ideas. And it's these ideas that we have that we share that could help us locally free ourselves. Joe Martino. The list is goes on forever with the people I brought on, but... You know, but then again, you know, like I said, the only reason I was going to do this, the only reason I did this show was because I'd already heard that two or three shows were already planned by Rick and Nancy and all them to do this show and put out the truth, if you will. So, hey, like Gary said, you know, I'm in advertising and marketing and I'm a salesman. And in the PR world, if you hear that people are going to come out and try and slander and bash you, what do? You get out in front of it first. So I figured that everybody out there deserved to know the truth not as we say the truth is, but the truth as read from their own words, from their own emails.
So if you're listening to their show, ask them for the proof.
And anybody who wants, you know, if anybody, you know, wants this information now, like I said, like, you know, we made this announcement before. If you would like to verify these emails yourself, hit me up, randymack@uoftreadomy.com. Since we're no longer PUC, well, we're not sharing any inside information anymore. So, you know, that's what it is.
Yes, and if the demand's there, I can open the archives for public viewing and give you the URL for it as well. And there's no way that I can change the archives on the mail list. And that's where all of this transpired.
So everybody out there... Be safe, be free. Sleepy Sauce is coming on here in a little bit, talking about firearms with Fox. Host that our Fox, he used to do the armory on here. He'll be coming back on doing the armory with Fox again shortly and soon. He's just getting his new work schedule kind of stabilized. So, as always, buy Joe Martino's book. You can get it on my website. Click that little link there. It'll take you to his page. Click Buy Me. Get this book. You need it. Trust me. I wouldn't have done 7 or 8 and 9 shows now with Joe Martino if I did not feel that this book was probably one of the most important books written in the 20th century. I've read it God knows how many times anymore. I can't even keep track anymore. I think it's over 30 now. And I keep finding new things in it, things that are important, things that are vital. So get the book. Everybody who's read that book, they cannot stop talking about that book. They all agree. It is probably one of the best books ever written. One of the most important books ever written. So, get the book, Resistance to Tyranny by retired Colonel Joseph P. Martino, insurgency expert for the U.S. military. With that being said, I'm out of here. I'm going now to live my life, and I'm going to enjoy what little is left of this weekend. And I hope you guys do the same as well. Go out there and live your life, and enjoy your freedom while you still have it. And remember, if you don't exercise your rights and your liberties, they're not yours anymore. You've given them up. Same thing with your freedom. Same thing with your life. If you don't engage in your life, what life do you have then, really? What are you fighting for? Go live your life. Go enjoy it and get off the internet for the day. Seriously, get off the internet. except for tonight. Come back and listen to the show. You all be safe. Be free. Bye-bye.